We're finishing up our Beyond Ourselves series, where we've looked at Paul's letters and looked at all of the different spots where he talks about one anothering one another. And Walter was nice enough to give me the last half of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews, where there are no one anothers.
You're welcome.
So today we're going to go on a journey and look at what we've learned about Paul over the last 8 weeks and sort of categorize them into five things and then ask some hard questions of whether we're doing that. But before we get there, I want to talk about movies. What is your favorite movie? And I just said that, and you've had images of that, maybe lines in the movie come up. Two of the movies that I always stop on when I'm flipping through channels: The Mummy, because Brendan Fraser is just funny in that movie. Or Jurassic Park, because Jurassic Park is like the pinnacle first real good dinosaur slash CGI movie. And if they're on while I'm scrolling, I'm back and forth to them. And my wife and my daughter make fun of me for that, but that's okay. Maybe your movie is nostalgic in some way. Every Christmas, when we put up our Christmas tree, we will watch White Christmas. Normally, Hannah and I watch the movie, and my wife fluffs the tree because she's more meticulous at that than we are. But maybe your movie is like that. Maybe you're not into movies and you're about books. What is your favorite book? Every other year, I try to read the Harry Potter series because Harry Potter is just a fun series to read. Or every once in a while, I will try to read The Chronicles of Narnia, which I've done a couple times, and I started a few years ago, and I stalled after the first book, so I need to deal with that. Or sort of catching both of those is The Lord of the Rings, which is the best book ever. And if you don't believe that, it's okay. The Lord of the Rings, the movies are good, but the books are better. Story of accidental interruption of life where Frodo Baggins chooses to be a solution to a problem that wasn't his. And the story of that and watching Frodo do things that he shouldn't have to do, but he chooses to do, really parallels some of what Paul talks about that we're going to talk about today. And at the same time, I think Gollum is who we are most of the time. This discussion, this inner conversation of I want to do the right thing, but I want to do the wrong thing, which we read about in Romans 7 with Paul. Stories and movies always draw us back. Every time I read Lord of the Rings, there's something that I read and I'm like, I don't know that I've ever read that. I know I've read that, but that feels like I've read it for the first time. You may have a movie that you watch over and over and over and you catch new little nuances along the way. And that's why we read the Bible every 3 years, or that's why we challenge you to read the Bible every 3 years. I don't know how many of you have gone on that journey with us, but if we are people who chase after God's word and chase after God's story and live God's story, we need to know the story, and so we read every 3 years. We're in the middle of that cycle right now. We've read Genesis through Deuteronomy. We've read the Gospels. We've read the book of Acts, and we just journeyed through Paul's letters. This fall, we're going to read through the rest of the histories in the Old Testament. And those help us to frame this bigger picture of God's story, because God's story is important because it helps us to know who we are and where we are. Because all too often we are lost in the world. But God calls us to live in this world, but not of this world, and to be His story. So much so that it is one of our core values. And that core value reads, God invites each of us into His story, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He enables us to bear witness to that story. So that is why we go on this journey year after year after year. And hopefully, you will go along with us, and you'll get to know God's story and see the bigger picture and how everything fits beautifully and how It challenges us to die to ourselves, to live beyond ourselves, to live for God. So really the big thing is, to be a part of the story, we have to know and live the story. And I don't know where you're at in that journey. We're going to ask that question again at the end. But I want to encourage you that if you're somewhere that you don't want to be, come up and talk to me after church or catch one of our elders during our response time. We want to help you take those next steps so that you get farther and farther into the story so that your life begins to look more and more and more like Jesus. And like I said, we've been traveling through Paul's letters, and I have to admit, I am an Old Testament guy, and I'm a Gospels guy. So reading Paul's letters, I do once a year when I'm reading through the Bible every year, and it's normally December, and I'm way behind, and so I blitz through them. You know how you read fast sometimes, nothing really catches you, just, oh, I'm reading the words. That's the way I feel about Paul's letters. And this time, as we went slower, there are so many things that I'm seeing all these threads between Romans and Colossians and Ephesians and Galatians and Hebrews. And so we're going to talk about that interweaving, this who Paul is and how it sort of comes out in what he's saying to all these different people groups that he has ministered to. To do that, let's look at Paul Saul before his conversion on the road. Paul, before that, is a Roman citizen. He doesn't necessarily wield that well, but that is a thing in his pocket which gives him lots and lots and lots of protection and lots and lots and lots of extra value. He's has a Jewish heritage, and he is bought into it. He is zealous about Judaism, so much so that he lives his life persecuting Christians. And we see that recorded in the book of Acts. He is there when Stephen is being stoned, looking over the coats to make sure that nothing gets stolen, while the rest of the Pharisees and the teachers and the leaders of the law stone Stephen for calling them stiff-necked and not seeing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah. But on that road where Jesus comes and blinds him, Paul is changed. He lets go of all of that, and his life is turned upside down. He's blinded by Jesus. He accepts the gospel with everything he is, and he is all in, which we'll talk about that in a minute. He becomes God's apostle to the Gentiles, because the Jews, Gentiles were like U of M fans to the Jews. They wanted to minister to Michigan State fans and U of M fans. They were way out there. Paul has a passion, which is surprising. Paul, this Jew of Jews, who championed the Judaistic faith and killed Christians, is the one that chooses to go and minister to the Gentiles, to the barbarians, to the ones who have no context for what being a Jew looks like. The gospel is everything to him, which you can't read Paul and not see that. The way he talks about giving his life, seeing that he gets stoned outside of his city, he gets up and he goes back in and continues to preach some more. He is all in, and he is a great example for us to follow. And I think sort of the pinnacle of that is what he says in Philippians, when he says, the rest of this is scubalon, which means refuse or poop. And I want to read that because it's just awesome. So this is Paul talking, and I didn't mark this one. Just give me a second to find it. Next page. Whatever the gains were to me, and he, right before that, picking up in verse 4, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, as every good Jewish boy was. Of the people of Israel, I'm of the right nation. Even more, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, this tribe that the Messiah is to come through. I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as righteous based on the law, faultless. I was everything that I thought I should be. But whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, is what the NIV says. King James Version says rubbish or poop. And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is in or through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul lived beyond himself. Jesus met him on the road and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus changed his life. He grasped hold of the gospel, and he was a different person. And as we look at his writings, we can see how he changed. And I've grouped it into five categories, and we're going to blitz through these because I only have so much time. I'm going to try to read some scripture in the midst of it. I had 30 slides when I started without all these scriptures, so buckle up. And if you have a paper Bible, get it out and be ready to flip, or get out your phone. This is the one time you can get out your phone, open up your Bible app, and we're going to go through some things. So first and foremost, Paul's faith and trust in God alone brings God's gift of grace and righteousness. When you have faith in God, God makes you righteous. It's not by works, and Paul says that many times. It's not by works that you become righteous. It's simply that you believed in the gospel that Jesus came and died on the cross, and that he is the Messiah, and then Jesus finds you righteous. Because that was a big thing as Paul stood between the Jews who were all about the works, wrongly, but all about the works, and the Gentiles who just wanted to believe, and those who were following Jesus going, okay, where are we at in the middle? And if we look at Ephesians in that, Ephesians 2, we're going to read 10 verses. So if you have your Bibles, flip over to Ephesians. We have to read it because it's so good. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh. We lived for ourselves, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by his grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that we, in the coming ages, might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by his grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We see Jesus. We claim Jesus as our Messiah. We become a part of the story. And God shows us grace and righteousness. The second thing he calls us to do is to make ourselves living sacrifices, which you can find in Romans 12, you can find in Philippians in a couple spaces. In Romans, he says, therefore, brothers, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. We don't have the concept of sacrifice here as well as they would have in Bible times. They saw other gods have things sacrificed to them, and in their religious system in Judaism. They sacrificed animals or produce that they grew to give to God in honor of God and to help them to be good with God. And Paul is saying, you yourself offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Die to yourself and be fully committed to God, which is what we see Paul do. And it's what he urges everybody that he writes to. It's what he urges everybody that he preaches to on his multiple missionary journeys. From the early 30s when he was converted to follow Jesus all the way till he died in the late 60s, mid-60s, scholars really don't know. He was all in challenging people to die to themselves and to live for God. Number three, we are called to one another, to love one another, to honor one another, to be kind to one another, and everything else that we've preached at you the last 8 weeks. Paul is just carrying this over from what he has heard Jesus say and Jesus share. And if we are a people who are shaped by the gospel, if we are a people who follow God, we look different and we act different and we care for one another differently than the world does. We even interact with the world differently, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks when we look at 1 Peter and Peter's call for us to honor the emperor, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. But we are different because we follow Jesus and we care for one another. Number four, when we live out our faith, we produce fruit and good works. And in parentheses, we stop doing bad. Paul is always giving lists, especially in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Here are all the things you're putting off, but here are the things that you're going to be. Let's go to Galatians. I was going to go to Colossians, but Galatians is still my favorite, even in this journey. Romans gave Galatians a run for its money this week. Philippians. Where is Galatians? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. See, even as a pastor who's done this forever, I still sing this song to myself in my head. It's the way it goes. Galatians 5, chapter 13. Actually, yeah, we're going to pick up a 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in God, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So this is that Gollum back and forth. I want to do the right thing. I want to do the wrong thing. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, which makes us pause and go, there's a lot of me in that first list. What do I need to die to so that I can follow God and inherit the kingdom of the earth? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That as we grasp onto this gospel, our lives are transformed and we die to the stuff that's worldly. And through the Holy Spirit, we begin to be people who are full of love, who are full of peace. And we're not only enjoying that in our own lives, but we're helping those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Hopefully I didn't miss one, or Rose is going to call me out later. Yes, sir. All right, I got it right. We are bringing those about in others just as much as the Holy Spirit is bringing those about in us. And then finally, in the passages that Walter left me, Paul is all about the next generation. We read in Timothy that he's writing to this young guy who's traveled with him to be strong, to set up churches, and to help people to one another, and live beyond themselves. As he talks to Titus in his letter to Titus, it's the same thing. Titus, first and foremost, have your people pray to God for the leaders of the nations so that we can live humbly and quietly. Paul wants to carry the gospel forward, and he realizes that he can't do that just on his watch. He has to empower the next generations. He has to pass the gospel forward. And so all of these things make us ask really, really hard questions. Where are you? Where are we in this story? Are we living strong in our faith and trust in God? When storms come, do we lean into God or do we flee to other things? Do we hold on to our faith on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday we live our own lives? Are we living sacrifices? Are we daily asking God to kill the sins that draw us in and make us fail? Are we one anothering one another? Are we producing fruit and good works? Are we people who are full of love and joy and peace and patience? Or are we the other things in the list? Are we empowering the next generation, which is a challenging thing, but it's something we have to do, otherwise we will vanish? So I want to end with two passages from Paul, one from Hebrews and then another one from Philippians. So Paul, writing to the Hebrews, calls out the Hebrew people about their lackluster faith. And this is what he says. For although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the very first principles of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a baby without experience in applying the word about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by continuous exercise to distinguish good from evil. Now, you may be in one camp or the other, and maybe you're there, okay, Wally, I've been coming to this church for a few weeks, maybe a few months. I have no idea about this faith thing. You need spiritual milk, and that is why we're here to help you. That's why we want to walk alongside you and help you to take those next steps as you write your faith story. Some of you are eating meaty, solid food, and that is awesome. But if you're in the middle, let's get busy living the right way. Because at the end of this passage, this is what Paul says. For the land, followers of Jesus, that soaks up frequent rains and then brings forth a crop useful to its owners, receives a blessing from God. Those that soak up the word, they produce fruit. But if it, the land, the followers of Jesus, keeps producing thorns and thistles, it fails the test and it's close to being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. So the question is, where are you in this story? What can you learn from Paul, and how can we walk together? Because we're called to one another. We're called to live beyond ourselves. And so if one of us is walking poorly and needs help, ask us and we will one another you. We're more than happy to walk along. Coming up this fall, we're going to do a small group. I'm pitching it to the elders. One of our people wants to lead a small group about overcoming sexual things on the internet. And so we're going to be offering that so we can one another, and help you away from the bad list so that you can live the good list. That's just one of the things. It's one of the ways we're willing to walk alongside of you. But you have to say, here I am. I need to go the right way. And I want to end with Paul in Philippians, because Paul doesn't bat an eye at saying what he feels. And this is how he's talking to the Philippians after he's called them to be like Jesus, who could have said, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to do what I want to do, yet he came as a human, lived like a slave, allowed himself to be hung on a cross so that God then would raise him from the dead and exalt him to the highest seat and show us how to live. This is what Paul says after that. But whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. We've already read this. But what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I've learned to live beyond myself, at best that I can be, even though in Romans he says, sometimes I do what I don't want to do. Even though I want to do right, I do wrong. Paul is pushing forward, even in the midst of that. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of the resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, which he did because he got stoned and beaten way too often. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I've already obtained this or that I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider yet myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is forward, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward to Christ Jesus. So we're going to move into a time of response. There are going to be elders around the room, people in blue lanyards. I'll be in the back. If you're at a spot where you're willing to say, I am here and I need to move more into the story, find one of us and say that, and we'll begin that journey together, one another, walking deeper into this faith that we see Paul live, into the faith that we see Jesus' disciples live, into the faith that those who followed after them have lived, to the point that we are here now, because they chose to live the story. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to take communion, which helps us to remember what Christ did and helps us to live just like those who followed Jesus. Because Jesus, at the upper room, he's passing the baton to his disciples, who then pass the baton to other people. Jesus passed the baton to Paul, who passes it on to the Gentiles, and we're continually moving forward, being empowered by this piece of bread, which represents Jesus' body, and the cup, which represents his blood, that we are a part of this new thing that is constantly moving forward. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to respond. And if you need to talk to somebody, don't be afraid. Lord, we thank you that you are good, and that through the example of Paul, we can be challenged to live beyond ourselves. That we can be challenged to die to the things that we're not supposed to be, that we know that we hold on to. And that if we allow you and your gospel and your word to overtake our lives, that we will shine like the stars to those around us. As we respond now, may your Spirit push us forward into your story. Allow us to bring you honor and glory because of what you've done. And help us to one another, one another. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Come and share in the body and blood of Jesus.